You're called to lead a nation, but your foundation as a leader has to be firmly rooted and grounded in the Word of God.
We have a huge, huge heart for seeing leaders raised up and going into every realm of society.
People don't follow leaders who have it all together. They follow leaders who are real.
As a leader, when you think of servanthood, it's not something you grow out of. It's something that hopefully you would grow in.
If leadership is influence, everybody has influence. What are you doing with the influence you currently have?
As a leader, you're more anointed and more equipped to do what you're called to do when you are just being yourself.
At the end of my life, I don't want to look back and think, I didn't really do anything that required faith.
Circumstances don't make or break you, they reveal you.
You can bear fruit on roots that aren't very deep, but it's not gonna last.
You are not called to lead a nation based on your feelings. You're called to lead a nation where Jesus says to go.
This is the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Well, welcome once again to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. I'm Banning Leaps, the director of Jesus Culture. I have three other people with me who I don't even want to introduce, except for Becky and I.
Seriously.
So I'd like to
already
maybe just... Oh, hold on a second, Zach. I'd like to just say I'm Banning, and across from me is the other really irreplaceable, really unbelievably talented, professional, impactful, phenomenal leader.
Yeah, pillar of the JCLP.
Pillar of the JCLP, who somehow got left out last podcast.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
Outside of us forcing our way in from book club and book nook.
Outside of you leaving for Hawaii and Becky being gone out of the office.
Hey, Zach, I don't want to hear excuses. I want to hear results. I want to hear results, all right? So we've got
Becky Johnson.
Great to have you, president of the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Next to me, because I just have to, I guess.
Zach Curry, local church team and now backup host when Banning's gone.
Wow,
you can't just avoid yourself.
Zach took it to another level. I gotta
say. Realize
Dean,
if we were do you guys realize
fire.
Right now, if we were on a ship in the middle of the sea and we were pirates, you would be walking out a plank.
Or the captain of the ship, because there was one of the other.
This has been a mutiny.
Mutiny.
Hey, we want to hear from all of you.
And across from me as well.
Dean DeGuara, Director of Leadership Development.
All right. Well, hey, welcome. It's great to have you guys. He did, Zach did mention that we happen to be in Hawaii. I go over there last few years working with YWAM at the University of Nations. Just an incredible, obviously, organization. But this year I brought my family.
It's a mission trip.
I flew over there to speak, and then we tagged on some time as well. And a couple things happened to me. Have you guys been to Hawaii? Anybody?
Yes.
Here?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Okay. Everybody but Becky.
No.
Yeah. Well,
you will go soon.
Becky.
Thank you.
So Hawaii's a great place. Maui's, honestly, we've been a lot of places. Maui's one of the few places in the world to me that lived up to its hype. The ones that the places are so hyped.
Yeah.
And then you get there, you're like, wow, this really is amazing. So we're in Kona, where University of Nations are, and we're going to take our kids to the beach. I'm teaching in the morning, then we're just going to hang out, relax. And so we drive our kids, and I already have, like, I have a 16-year-old, 12-year-old, 9-year-old, two girls and a boy, and my 12-year-old girl is already pretty nervous about stuff. She's already pretty scared about certain things or a little, you know, worried or whatever else. So they're already, you know, like, they don't want to go too far out. They're trying to ask, like, Dad, like, how do we know there's not sharks? Is there, like, and I'm like, well, there's a net. And I fact my way out of stuff. I just fact my way out. I'm like, guys, like, what are the chances? You're not going to get bit by a shark, you know what I mean? just because you hear about a shark attack, you hear about car accidents and lightning hitting people. I'm not worried about those things, right? So we get there. We drive an hour to this one beach. It's like this the best beach there. We drive an hour. Kids are just, they're in the car, they're just amped, they're stoked. They're like, this is going to be exciting. We pull into the parking lot and the gate's closed. And there's like a ranger sitting right there. And we're like, what's going on? They're like, sorry, shark sighting. Not only a shark sighting, but a tiger shark bit a guy.
Oh,
didn't
my
kill
gosh.
Him.
Oh my gosh.
Came out. He was snorkeling with other people and a tiger shark bit him.
So only confirmed, right?
So they and it's like super rare. It's only happened like the guy that's like in 7 years, it's happened 3 times, whatever. So, but then, I mean, from then on out, I mean, it was like,
That's all she needed.
The worst thing that could have happened to me with my kids, I guess outside of being bit by a shark, was then, I mean, the rest of the time, my kids, we would like get all the snorkeling gear.
Snorkeling in the sand.
They would be 4 feet off of the shoreline. Like, they're not going out. And I'm the type of guy, are you guys like this? I just fact my way out of it. Like, I literally am like, guys, what are the chances?
We got another 7 years now.
What are the chances of a shark attack and then the next day happening to you? I mean, that's
exactly what that snorkeler thought. What are the chances?
Astronomical, those
did
chances.
Did Raya watch Soul Surfer?
I don't fact myself out.
Do you fact yourself out?
Yeah, don't see that show.
I totally fact my way out. I'm like, guys, just think about it for a second. It's not going to happen, but it doesn't matter.
I prepare for disaster. Always.
Wow.
That's my philosophy. Prepare for disaster.
Live your life from a place of fear. You know?
Can you fact your way out of things, Zach?
I positive myself out of things.
He has that positivity reinforcement shield.
I'm like, I don't need to fact myself out of it. I'm just like, you know what? It's going to be all right. Things are good. It'll work out. It'll just work out.
Yeah, there you go. You know? Yeah, I just process through the odds and statistics, it's just not going to happen again, right?
But I will say this, like in the case of the shark attack, and to me, that's an indicator. We've got another 7 years.
Oh.
So if it's every 7 years,
it's
you
not
know,
like a comet.
It's
Zach.
Like statistics. It's like, hey, I got time. That person got bit, so I'm good to go.
Yes, we're good.
The sharks are satisfied.
A solar eclipse.
Interestingly enough, my young kids did not think any of that. They decided that
you also close to shore. You also had a really interesting tan design going on.
Yeah,
burn/tan.
Well, here's another thing. Like, I'm almost 40, right? So I'm not one of those guys that goes on the beach. I'm not that camp kid that's like, I don't need to put any sunscreen on. And then he's just like a lobster for 5 days at
You're
camp.
You're not Derek.
Every camp, yeah, I'm not Derek. Every camp, you've got that kid, right? I'm not that guy. So I get out to the beach. It's our first day there. We're just going to spend a few hours at the beach. Kids are hanging out. It's a blast. And I brought the spray sunscreen, which I love.
Yes.
You know, it's fantastic. It's easy to put on. And except for it was really windy. Like, it was really windy that day at the beach. And so I'm spraying and it's not working. So I'm trying to angle myself where the wind actually sprays it onto me, so not away from me.
You're spraying it into the wind.
Oh, and I got back to the hotel that night, and it was like, it wasn't just that I was
stripey.
Sunburned. It was like sections of me were sunburned because the spray got, when I would bring the spray close to my body, it worked. When it was far away, so it literally looks like a
tiger.
It looks like a tiger. It looks like a piece of artwork on my body. I was that guy, and it was so bright red that the rest of the time at the beach, I would be walking around. It was blatantly obvious, not just that I was red, but like weird red configuration of a sunburn. It was
Mommy,
just super
what is up with that guy?
He's got
look
a bad
away.
Rash.
I became that
away,
kid.
Child,
I became
away.
That kid at camp where everybody's just looking at me now. Every time I'd walk by.
So were you just walking around in a long t-shirt?
No. I went out there, man. I just fact my way out. Listen, guys, I'm 39 years old. I'm married. I'm good, you know. So, yeah, Hawaii. Everybody has to go, though.
Okay, I'll go. You guys will send me.
We're going to start a Kickstarter. Send Becky to Hawaii.
Yes, we should do it. Yeah. Well, hey, we've got an absolutely great podcast this month, as we always do. As we always do.
As we did last month as well.
As we did last month. Well, last month was
Ratings are up. Let's settle this. So
last
let us
week
know.
Was
listen
mediocre.
To both and then give us some feedback.
It was
last
a wash.
Week was mediocre at best. I didn't even listen to it.
Yeah,
I refused to listen to it. Hey, before we jump into the topic this month, though, we're highlighting.
We're going to Music Spotlight, so check this out, and we'll be right back.
We want to share the music that is encouraging us right now. You are listening to the Jesus Culture Music Spotlight.
All right, well, here we are with the Music Spotlight. What we want to do is just kind of come alongside you as leaders and resource you with different worship and music that's really impacting us. We got a little bit of a different one this time because I'm going to sit down and interview somebody who I'm a personal hero to. a real inspiration in their life to. Really, they owe most of their spiritual life to me, and that person is Kim Walker Smith. So, Kim, thanks for coming.
Oh, you're funny.
I'm funny. I'm legitimately introducing you. I'm going to introduce you that way whenever I am.
Yeah.
She owes me her spiritual life. Why don't you welcome to the stage, Kim Walker Smith. And is in here in a bright pink Oregon Ducks sweatshirt.
I'm representing, I think.
Or it's all the Oregonians. You'll be very happy with Kim in here right now.
Well, an Oregonian gave this to me, actually, on the Still Believe tour.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and I was stoked because, you know, I am an
Oregonian.
Oregon,
it's pink, so. It's girly, it's perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Kim, we are here to just talk about really just Jesus Culture music in general. So more than just highlighting one album this week, and we're going to kind of go in-house. We want to talk about Jesus Culture music. You know, there's a big partnership that just happened with us and Capitol Music, Capitol Music Group, which I'd love you to jump in. But also there's a lot of things rolling out in the next few months, both Spanish album, compilation stuff, Derek's album. Can you just kind of tell us this partnership that's happened, as well as kind of the upcoming things that are happening in the next few months?
Yeah, we're really excited about our partnership with Capitol. And for us, it's exciting because they've got a reach that we haven't been able to get to on our own. And they're really incredible people so far. Everything that we've been doing with them and working with them has been such a positive experience, been really fun and really exciting. And I think they're going to just help us just take everything to a whole new level, which we're really stoked about. And we've had a really big start with them, really. So April 1st.
There's like eight albums releasing today.
April 1st was the start of our relationship with them, like kind of the kickoff of our relationship. But we, of course, have released now the three albums to start with. One is Derek Johnson's album, which I'm really excited about, really proud of
so
Derek.
Good.
And he was the one who opened up for me on the Still Believe tours. And so a lot of people may recognize him from that. Nice. And
I take credit for Derek's life, too, just to let you
know.
You try
to take credit for everybody's life.
Anybody that's doing good spiritually that's around me, I'm like, you probably owe that to me. That's my philosophy. I don't know if it's right. But.
You know, but Derek would give me some credit, too. Like, I'll just say that right now. If Derek were in here, I know he'd give me some credit.
It's not about who he gives credit to. I'm telling you, I take that credit.
Oh,
so
my
go
goodness.
Yeah, so Derek's
I'm
album.
I'm a little more humble, so I just won't even go there. So
there you go. Derek's album.
Real Love. Yeah, the album's out. Super excited about that. That one's been a long time coming. And then we've got two releases. One is the This Is Jesus Culture, and the other one is Jesus Culture Presents, you know, Brian and Katie Torwalt. And both of these CDs are a collection of, I guess what everyone's kind of calling our greatest hits, which I feel like saying that makes us sound incredibly old. So I personally don't like greatest hits.
Yeah, I've been doing this for 10 years now.
It has been a long time. I actually had a fan come up to me and say, I grew up listening to your music.
No!
And I was like, what?
No.
I'm looking at them thinking,
that's
you
wrong.
Look like you're like college age.
That's wrong.
But then when I go back through time and I look at, like, yeah, you were like in elementary school our first album came out. So, yeah, thank you for making me feel incredibly old. And thank you for listening to our music. That's awesome.
We were laughing about the fact that it's a kind of a compilation of songs. And there's two new songs,
or
two songs
recordings.
That we recorded, two new live recordings. But the Brian and Katie one, which is only physical, is that right?
Yeah.
So you can, the Brian and Katie kind of compilation is only, you can only get physically in stores. But what we were laughing about was they only have two albums. So we're like, okay, you cannot have a best hits album after two albums. So it's more of just an introducing people that maybe don't know who the Torwalts is.
Part of
a
it
best
was
hits after one.
Being strategic, you know, our new partners, Capitol, they've got a lot of connections and stores and people that haven't heard our music yet. And so we wanted a way to kind of present some of our people and our music and kind of get everyone familiar. And it's just kind of a fresh take on everything. It's really exciting.
The other thing is we kind of wrap up here that's probably, this I am pretty excited about is there is a Spanish album coming out.
Yes.
Which we will actually probably take some more time on this. But there's a Spanish album coming out. You and Chris both go in and sing in Spanish. I've heard some of it.
Yeah.
Listen, some of our favorite people on the planet. Are in Latin America. Every time we go down there, I'm just so stirred by the passion and the hearts and the love.
of Even Latin here America. In America, yeah, you know, there's such a too. Large Spanish-speaking population here in America. And I've noticed even, you know, every time we've gone to Miami, I'm like the only white girl there. And it's pretty incredible. It's so exciting. All of the Latinos and Latinas down there, they just love worshiping Jesus. They're so passionate. And Chris and I were both really excited about being able to do the album in Spanish. And we both were saying, we did an interview a few weeks ago about it and said that we both just felt really honored, actually, to do this. And the feedback that we're getting from people is, I'm so excited. Now my parents can listen to your music. And now my, you know, my friend can listen to your music. They were so excited to be able to share our music with family members that don't speak English. And so now they're going to get to hear it all in Spanish. And it's going to reach a whole new group of people, which is just really exciting.
Well, as we wrap up, one of the things I wanted to say that I love you and Chris have done, and now the Torwaltz and Derek, is as we kind of look back over the last 10 years or so with this compilation album, different things like that, one of the amazing things for me is just to see that our hearts, your guys' hearts, have stayed the same. At the end of the day, we want people to encounter God. At the end of the day, success for us is you put that CD on, you turn it on your iPod or your iPhone or whatever you listen to, and you encounter the presence of God. And it's the same. We have the same goal today that we did that many years ago. And so thanks for carrying that. Just so amazing.
Jesus Culture.
Hey, podcasters. Last month, we did a music spotlight with Derek Johnson in his solo album debut, Real Love. And now we want to give you a free track off that album. So if you go to jesusculture.com/podcast, you can download the track, Real Love, for free, just for you. Thanks for listening.
Well, every month we want to hit a topic to help you grow as a leader. As much fun as we love hanging out, we really want for you to be impacted and grow as a leader. And really, that's kind of the topic of this month, is leading with a passion to grow. As a leader, both inside the church, outside the church, those of you that are called to stand behind a pulpit and those of you that are called to lead in culture and society, you have to have a passion to grow. One of our good friends, Lyle, who's a leadership development guy, he says this, that the minute you stop growing as a leader, you're disqualified as a leader. And I agree with him. I really believe that what God requires from us is growth. And that as a leader, you have a passion to grow. You have a passion to grow spiritually. You have a passion to grow with your skill sets and your effectiveness as a leader. You have to constantly be growing. But the thing that I want to talk about before we jump into the sermon piece of this is that what I found is, you know, it's easy to say I want to grow as a, you know, in my early 20s, like I'm hungry to grow. But now as I'm starting to creep up, I still have to have that same passion and hunger to grow. But what I begin to find is you begin to find like, wow, if you're not geared up for leadership as a life of growing, which means a life of stretching, you know, like my kids right now, my kids, they have growing pains. My kids have, their body is physically stretching, you know?
Yeah.
They need a ton of sleep. They get aches and pains sometimes because their body is growing. That for us, that never stops. There's not like a season of growth, like with kids. Like, hey, there's a season, you know, from you know, 1 to 16, you're growing.
Right.
And then you kind of stop growing. No, as leaders, it's constant. And if you're not ready for that, it can be a little wearing sometimes. It can be a little tiring. And I know that we probably all experienced that. It's like, wow, do I still have to keep growing? Do I still have to continually be stretched and face stuff? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of in the middle of that right now. I'm now in my late 20s, you guys, because I'm going to be 20.
You're getting old, Becky.
I know. It's really sad.
You're going to finish that? How old are you going to be?
That's not sad.
Oh, I'm going to be 27.
All right.
Yeah, so I'm right. That's late 20s, right?
Yes, 20s.
Yeah,
you're there.
It's rough, guys. So I'm kind of, so, you know, like probably when I turned 18, 19, I was just so hungry and I just like wanted it all. I wanted to be in charge of something. I wanted to lead stuff. I was just in every job that I had, I got promoted to a manager, a shift leader, a supervisor. And I just loved it. And then, you know, diving into Jesus Culture, I was just so excited at all the opportunities to grow and the favor that the Lord gave me to have access to leaders. And kind of like the past, probably, I think since having a kid too, it's a whole nother level of growth and stretching. And I kind of realized, just to be completely honest, like probably 2 nights ago, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I turned to Derek. I'm like, I don't know if I'm cut out for this. Like, this is really, really hard. Mm. I feel like I am always being told where I'm falling short. And he's like, but that's what you want. That's the life of a leader. I'm like, okay. All right. And so the Lord started to speak to me that, you know, it's not just about growth and tackling things head on and going after it, but it's about how do I respond in those moments of feedback and in those moments of hitting a lid. And that's when I'm starting to realize, like, okay, I need to kind of gear up for what this looks like sustainably, like, growing and going after it for longevity. And it's about just right now where I'm at is what am I doing in that moment of not letting it derail me or stop me, but okay, just picking up the pieces and figuring out where my lid is and then moving on and keep, you know, just keep going.
Yeah.
Just to add on to what you're saying, Becky, I think this passion to grow is what gives you a filter or a perspective that in every situation, like those things, you know, it's two things. One, the challenges you're facing are actually an invitation to grow. But if you don't have a passion to grow, you don't see it that way.
Right.
Like for me, I'm like, I don't know what to do in this situation, or I don't have the answer. It's not familiar. I've never done this before.
Right.
If you don't have a passion to grow, you just think it's hard and either you run away from it, or you have a perspective of, okay, this is an invitation to grow. And then secondly, we have to continually put ourselves in a place as leaders where we are forced to go beyond what we know and grow. And that's where we dream with God and we do things that are beyond the possible realm of what we have experience in. But that's the life we're supposed to live as leaders. But this passion to grow is connected right into our perspective of what we're doing.
And yeah, what I'm hitting right now is how do I keep that passion to grow? Like I had it and now I'm kind of like, okay, growth is hard. It's hard. And just I'm having to tap in, you know, and really seek the Lord on, okay, what do I need to cultivate that passion to keep growing?
My experiences and what I have to be careful about in my own life is my routines can sometimes turn into ruts. Mm. And so I find myself, especially probably over the last 5 years, having to change my routine more often. For example, last year, I read less books last year and focused more on scripture. This year, I'm reading a few more books than I did last year, and I'm listening to more podcasts. I'm always changing up so my routines don't get me stuck in ruts.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
good. It's fantastic. I think that a lot of this passion for us, ultimately what we've said is this: we're leaders because we're followers. Listen, none of us are leaders. We're leaders because we're following Jesus. You know, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus. And so our life is about being shaped and molded into the image of Jesus. That's what we're going after. And so what I find that growth is, for me, Becky, you mentioned the passion part. Mm-hmm. It's I read Galatians 5 and the fruit of the Spirit, and my leadership growing is that. It's like I need self-control. Mm-hmm. I need patience as a leader. Yeah. I need long suffering. I need kindness. I need love. Whatever the areas of my leadership that I really believe that Jesus was a phenomenal leader. That the Holy Spirit is complete, and so for me, it's about growing in that area. Mm-hmm. Like I want in my leadership, there are areas where I need to be more patient.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a fruit of the Spirit. So for me, the passion is, well, I have to draw close then, and I want the Holy Spirit to produce that fruit in my life.
Yeah.
It's interesting too, because part of the dilemma that we run into is like, hey, I've got such a passion to grow. You know, not everybody would know the minor league system of baseball, but I've got such a passion to grow, and I'm playing, you know, single A ball, and then you get to double A, and you're like, oh, wait a second. Like I was a great hitter at single A.
Yeah.
Now I'm at double A and I'm a mediocre hitter. I've got to work hard. And now I'm a great hitter and I'm still in the minors.
Right.
And then the Lord puts you in the majors and you're wondering like, why? I already dealt with this.
Yeah.
I already worked on my hitting.
Yep.
It's like, well, yeah, you worked on your hitting in the minors.
Yep.
Now you're in the majors.
Yeah.
And so as leaders, the Lord keeps either promoting us or in the Spirit, whatever else it is, or challenging us or putting us in new areas. You know, there's a lot of people like, I thought I already dealt with this. Mm. It's like, you did deal with this. It was just, it's an onion. It's a layers. You did deal with that and you did a great job dealing with it, but now you've got to go deeper with it.
Yeah.
And so that can sometimes be discouraging. The amount of leaders I sit down with as you begin to talk to me, you're like, I thought I already dealt with this 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, well, you did at that level, and now the Lord's requiring this level.
You're not going backward. You're going deeper, or you're growing. So
great way to put it. Great way to put it. So I recently just did a talk for some leaders at a leadership collective at one of our conferences. So we're going to jump into that.
Let me just say this real quick as leaders. Again, wherever you're at, you might be in the church, outside the church, wherever you're leading, there's a couple things that I think are really critical for your life. A lot of people ask me when it comes to teams, what are you looking for in leaders? Like, what are you looking for in leaders? Outside the spiritual answer of loving Jesus, what I'm looking for is teachability. Hands down, teachability. Are you teachable? If you're teachable, it communicates a few things to me. One is you're humble. There's humility in your life that you're saying, listen, I haven't arrived. I need to grow more and I need to listen. And if you're teachable, it means that you're influenceable, that you want to grow. These are two key factors for leadership for you. Am I teachable? Am I humble? Am I humble enough to be able to come and say, listen, this is what's funny for me. I mean, you may not have walked through this, but at 30, I had a real decision to make of whether or not I was going to stay in a learning mode. And the tension I had with that was that if I'm in a learning mode, it requires humility because I still have questions and I still don't know what I'm doing. And at 30, I kind of wanted that not to be my mode. I'm like, I don't want to be in a spot where I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to be the guy that has questions. You know who has questions? Kids. That's who has questions. Honestly, if you're around my son, they got questions. I remember my son in the back seat one day. He's nine, so this is probably 4 years ago. He's five. He's like, Dad, I want to know about heaven. Like, do we still have our bodies? Are we just skeletons? Are my toys going to be with us? Like, he had all these questions about heaven because he doesn't know, you know? And so I was like, well, son, there's these creatures and they've got four faces. And I didn't tell him that at all. But I remember as a 30-year-old going, I want to be seen by others as I know what I'm doing. I'm a leader. I've got this together. And I realized that I can't have that and still stay in humble learning mode. Because humble learning mode is, I gotta ask questions. I remember, I was 25 years old, and we have a school ministry at Bethel, where I'm from in Reading, and it's huge now. It's like 2,300 people or something like that. But at 25, it was smaller, and Chris Valentin asked me, I'm 25. He came to me and said, I'm youth pastoring. He said, hey, can you youth pastor and can you run second year? So there's like 43 students. And so I'm like, all right, I'm 25, right? There are people, they're in their 60s in class. And I'm like, all right. So I get in there and I learn very quickly. Oh, I have no idea what I'm talking about at all. Like I've been dealing with kids who are like, their thing is like, I want to take the girl over there or I drank, you know, then I'm in offices with people that I'm like, that happens in life? What? In counseling sessions, they're like, well, what should I do? I'm like, I remember, I kid you not, I tell this story with Danny. I'm in an office, this lady's talking to me. I'm like, because a lot of what I did was counseling. And I'm in there and I'm listening to her. I'm like, And it was literally like about her husband had abused her or something like that. And I'm like, you know what? I'll be right back. And I acted like I was going to the bathroom. And so our offices were like in this other wing upstairs. I run downstairs all the way across the campus. I don't even knock. I walk into Danny's office. He's like in a meeting with somebody, which is nowhere near as important as me. And I said, and I'm like, Danny, whoa, this is what's going on. What do I say to that? And so he's like, well, let's say these three. I'm like, all right, okay, all right. And then I would run back and I would sit down. I kid you not. And I'm like, so here's what we're going to do. It was like the best bathroom moment ever. They're thinking, like, that's amazing. God meets you in the bathroom. I'm like, I know. But I had to make a conscious decision. I don't know what I'm doing. When we went to church, when we went to plant this church, I don't know how many people I talked to that planted churches, but if I even sniffed that you had a church anywhere that you tried to plant, I was like, hey, can I talk to you? And I would spend an hour drilling you. I asked them five specific questions every time I saw anybody. It didn't matter what. Your church could be thousands or 50. It didn't matter to me. I have a bunch of questions for you. And as leaders, I'm just telling you, you have to have a passion to grow. The minute you stop growing, this is what a friend of ours, Lyle Wells, says. The minute you stop growing, you are disqualified as a leader. You're disqualified as a leader. You have to say, I want to grow. The problem with that is if you want to grow, it means you have to position yourself in humility and teachability. And no, like, I don't know what I'm doing in a lot of areas. I'm in over my head, and I'm just finding people that are further along than I am, and I'm sucking them dry. And I'm sucking them dry. And I will interrupt people's lives. And I really will. Like, I have this mode. Listen, I'm telling you, this is what I think. As leaders, you'll get this. A lot of people are like, well, I don't want to interrupt your life, or I don't want to, you know, I know you're busy. And I get that. And I think that some people need, you know, they need to be able to hear the answer of like, listen, I can't meet with you. You know, I can't do this. I love you. I can't do it. They need to be able to hear that. But this whole thing where you're like, you're busy, I don't want to do it. I got to a place in my life where I legitimately think I am the best investment Danny can make. I think there is not better soil that you can invest in than my life. And the reason I think that, I'm serious about this. The reason I think that is because I'm going to do something with what you gave me. If you talk to leaders, again, so you've got to go find people that invest in you. You have to have it. If you're going to grow, it means you have to be teachable, which means you need people teaching you, right? Yeah. Are you with me on this? Yeah. But in order to break into that, sometimes you've got to begin. The people that wear me out as a leader are not the ones that come and meet with me. It's the people that come and meet with me and go away and don't do anything with what I said, anything I invest in them. They just go do their own thing anyways. The ones that come and you pour into them, and they go away, and they just do all this stuff, and they come back and go, look at all this stuff, man, this is from what you talked to me about. I'm like, this is the best thing ever. I'll meet with you. Are you with me on this? And I'm some of the best soil you'll ever invest in, because I'll do something with it. I'm not gonna walk away and just do my own thing. I'm not gonna waste your time. Are you with me on this? But you have to stay teachable. You have to stay humble. You've got to stay hungry. You've got to stay hungry as a leader.
This year, we're partnering with Rancho de Sus Niños, an incredible orphanage in Mexico, for a Jesus Culture missions experience. What is a missions experience? Well, you and your group will go serve and minister in Mexico and also be trained and equipped by the Jesus Culture team in the evenings. Last year, we partnered with Rancho de Sus Niños, and the testimonies we heard were so incredible, we knew we wanted to do this again. You don't want to miss out this summer on our second annual Jesus Culture Missions experience, which includes worship with Derek Johnson and Christine DeMarco,
teaching sessions with Zach Curry, Scott Thompson, Jimmy and Gina Horner, and more,
a high ropes challenge course,
pouring an orphanage house foundation,
outreach and activation,
treasure hunts,
water projects,
neighborhood cleanup,
and groups will help lead stations and a vacation Bible study at the orphanage. For more information about the Jesus Culture Missions experience and to register, go to jesusculture.com/events.
Most people will not impact their world from behind a pulpit or singing a song. Have you ever wondered what it looks like to bring God to the world around you? We have invited leaders from various realms of society for an exclusive interview. Hear their stories, see how God is using them to impact their world, and prepare to be inspired. We believe that God is raising up a generation of emerging leaders that will be used to release the love and power of God throughout society, and you are a part of that. Your passions, your gifts, and the dreams that God has given you are part of the strategy of heaven to bring campuses, cities, nations, and specific areas of culture into an encounter with God.
Welcome to the Culture Project segment of the JCLP, where we highlight leaders that are impacting the culture. I'm Dean DeGora, and I'm thrilled to have with us Gabrielle Jackson. Gabrielle is an entrepreneur, a generational strategist, and millennial motivator. She is the founder of the consulting group, The Millennial Solution, where she offers next generation solutions to the challenges of a multi-generational workplace. And she's empowering millennials with the skills they need to thrive at work and beyond. She's also the author of the new book, Five Millennial Myths, the handbook for managing and motivating millennials, which you can find the link to in our show notes. But want to welcome you, Gabrielle, to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Dean.
Hey, Gabrielle, you're doing some amazing things. Tell me a little bit about how you became an entrepreneur.
I call myself this accidental entrepreneur, right? I wasn't planning on going out and starting my own company, but I found myself in this position where I was really compelled to start a company. Because I saw that there was a real need to bridge the generation gap. I started the Millennial Solution after writing my book, Five Millennial Myths, and kind of finding myself as usually being the youngest person in the room. And so I'd have, you know, Xers and Boomers kind of look at me and be like, what's wrong with your generation? Why are you guys so entitled or so, you know, addicted to technology or so unmotivated? And so I really started looking into the reasons why we were the way that we were and really wanted to tap into the ambition and the excitement of this next generation and really provide some practical solutions for companies. So it really came from relationships, from seeing the need, and then just having the opportunity to act on them.
Now tell us a little bit about what you're doing. You're bridging the understanding gap and helping generations work better together. What are some of the things that you're doing to bridge that gap?
Yeah, I have a ton of fun doing this, and a lot of it is just in really interactive ways, right? So bringing in mentorship is so huge for both people of other generations and for millennials as well. Millennials want quality mentorship, but that doesn't just mean we want to be told what to do. We also want to have a seat at the table as well. So reverse mentoring, peer mentoring, developing some really quality interactive groups at work, that's one of the key areas that we deliver. I also am just doing a lot in the education and understanding mode. So I speak all over the country and even all over the world to companies and organizations, helping them understand who the millennial generation is.
Now here at Jesus Culture, we have a conviction, and I know you do too, that people are called to lead. What does it mean to you to lead this next generation?
I have always said that leadership is based off your circle of influence, and everyone has a circle of influence. Therefore, everyone's a leader. And so really empowering millennials, or really anyone of any generation, to be able to really step into that that influencer role, realizing that you are here for a reason. You have a purpose. You have a voice. And being empowered to be able to use that voice to influence others for the kingdom of God.
That's great. It's been so awesome to reconnect with you, Gabrielle. How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can check out my website, millennialsolution.com, or they can follow me on Twitter at @SaysGabrielle.
And again, you can find out all that information in our show notes, and as well as the link to Gabrielle's book, Five Millennial Myths. And so thank you again for being with us, Gabrielle.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's good to be back, and I hope that there's no more quote unquote scheduling conflicts.
Scheduling
conflicts. Don't allow me to be on the podcast.
We need to settle this. Let's get a poll up and
yeah,
let's see.
Come on.
That's a good idea.
Thanks for joining us. We love chatting with you guys twice a month. This is part one of the JCLP. As always, you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and the website, jesusculture.com/podcast, where you can find all the resources we've mentioned and listen to all the episodes. So, until next time, we will see you guys.